Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
I want to welcome Adam to the Owner to Owner podcast. The goal of this series is to have ownership discussions with owners that are out there doing the work, making the products, delivering the products, installing things, creating things, and brewing products. So we hear the voices that we don't usually hear, and we hear from workers, owners that are benefiting from both the culture and the wealth building of ownership, the folks that at other companies probably wouldn't be able to participate. So we're looking forward to having Adam along. Adam, could you introduce yourself? Give us a little bit of an idea of what you do for Harpoon Brewery.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here today. So yeah, my name's Adam, and I am a shift brewer here at the Mass Bay Brewing Company, which is more popularly known by our leading flagship brand, Harpoon. Harpoon does have two breweries. There's one at Seaport District in Boston, and then the other one's up in Windsor, Vermont, working down at the Boston location. And what a shift brewer basically does is we oversee the brew house where we produce wort, which is the beer before it actually has the yeast added to it, which ferments and then becomes actual beer. So day to day, we work 8-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. And we do shift rotations where we produce the beer, basically.
That's great. That's great. You're encouraged to weave in more insight into a brewery for folks, whether they drink beer or not. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating, the science and industry and manufacturing and the nuance and craftsmanship that brewing takes. So wherever you want to share your insights and passion, please weave those comments in.
Yeah, will do. I mean, it's a big, complicated process, so I could talk for days about it, really.
That's great. That's great. Well, let's shift us over to ownership. So I want to ask you some different questions about your ownership experience and your perspective on that. And so what I'd like to start out with guests is asking you how you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and you're not around either your coworkers at Harpoon or at a New England ESOP Association conference, where you're around folks that don't necessarily know about employee ownership. How do you share that with them? How do you talk about it with them?
Best way I describe it is it's a way to put in sweat equity and get paid for it. You gain share just through your employment and the amount of time that you spend at the company, and you're rewarded by how successful the company is and if the share price increases and the value of the company increases. I like to describe it as just a big pool where everyone owns a very small part of it.
That's great. So that's for when you're out in the world around folks that aren't used to it, maybe in a work context. And I want to shift you over and hear your insights. When you describe ownership to your friends and family, how do you talk about it?
I mean, well, my dad is always concerned about, you know, financial stability and the future. So I try to describe it to him as a sort of retirement fund. We do get rewarded with our shares, but the money isn't immediate. It's something that you hold on to, a lot like a retirement fund. If you cash out too early after you leave a company or you retire, you're penalized. So it's ideal to leave it in until after you're the age of 59 and a half. So even though the monetary value isn't something immediately realized, it's going to eventually be there at the end. So I describe it to my father as a form of retirement fund, but what I really tell people in general is that it's a cultural part of the work. It forms the culture around where the workplace and how people behave here and how people regard the company that they work for.
Can you describe a little bit more about what those behaviors are or what that cultural feel is?
Yeah, there's a sense of pride and ownership. It comes with certain responsibilities. You don't have this perception that you're working for someone else's money. You're working for your own and you're being rewarded for it. Everyone has this sense that we're all in this together and that we're trying to move forward as one collective whole, and that there isn't really just a few guys in a conference room that you never see directing the ship. All of our, even the guys who are managerial level, I see them on a daily basis. Our CEO is 15 feet down the hallway from where I sit right now. And if I wanted to talk to him, it would be as easy as going over, knocking on his door and say, "Hey, Dan, what's up?" So there's a real sense of community and belonging here versus other places where I've worked, where, I mean, I've worked at breweries where the guy who owns the place lived in the Florida Keys I never met him. Mm-hmm. But here, I know every single person. Well, not every single person. We are a company of 250 people. But I mean, I know the major players who started the organization, and they're here every single day. And that's quite a good feeling.
That's great. Well, let's go a little bit farther. So the question I ask all of the podcast guests for Owner to Owner, I also ask every new associate owner at Hypertherm when I do the onboarding. So it's a broad question. What does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question because it means something different to everyone. For me, my personal experience, it's more about the workplace culture than anything else. It means that you're working for a company that cares about you as an employee, is vested in your future with the company, wants to see you as a long-term employee and someone who makes a sustainable difference. And they're also putting a lot of faith in your abilities to make the company and everyone who makes up the company successful. Yeah, it's a community thing, I guess.
That's great. That's great. And it's not meant to be too big a question. It's intended. We asked this globally for over 300 people when we first asked the question, and then we incorporated into onboarding for years. We've had people answer it. If it helps at all, we've never gotten the same answer twice, you know, having asked at least 800 people so far the same question. So a beautiful thing to hear, the fingerprint, the unique identity of ownership. And that's exactly what you provided. So I really appreciate your openness with that. So a different way of learning what ownership, the experience means to you or has so far meant to you, I'd like to ask, what three words would you choose to describe ownership? And I intentionally leave these very open because I want to know what you bring to it. I don't want to constrain you at all. What three words do you use to describe?
That's another great question. Pride is definitely at the top of the list. There's a lot of pride in being employee owned. A lot of pride with saying, hey, I just don't work here, but you know, I'm one of the many people who own the place. Another word that comes to mind is independence. What I've learned a lot about ESOPs and just corporations in general is how they're structured and how vulnerable a lot of organizations can be, especially in the beer industry. It's a turbulent market and there's been a lot of acquisitions. There's been a lot of mergers and there's been a lot of closures. So, you know, when you think of your favorite brew pub down the street, it's not a given that that brew pub is financially sound, that that brew pub will be there for generations, and that children or your grandchildren will enjoy the same experience as going to that brewery or enjoying that beverage or enjoying that experience. When you become a part of an ESOP, you're trying to solidify your future. You know, you're not at the whims of, let's say, a CEO who's aging and looking to retire, because there's always the workforce. The workforce is, although always changing, it's always there. So there's a form of independence with always being there and not being at the will of just some people who are at the top. A little bit more of a permanent structure, which I guess would bring me to my third word, sustainability. How long is the company going to be sustainable? How long is the company going to be in existence? So yeah, when I think of employee ownership, I think of group of people taking a tremendous amount of pride in what they do, striving to be independent with the direction that they take themselves in, and building something that will last for generations to come.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that and sharing the insight with the pride and independence and sustainability. That's exactly what we're looking for with the ownership voices and perspectives from the individual's view. How do you help your new coworkers get their hands around this ownership?
Yeah, it's a big, complicated process. It took me months to wrap my head around and understand because there's a lot of moving parts and it doesn't really make sense. And unless you have a background in business or management, it's not something you're going to get right off the bat. So what we do here at Mass Bay Brewing Company is we have what's called a communications committee. And the whole purpose of this committee is just to explain and celebrate what an ESOP is, or our ESOP is, I should say. So one of the things that we do is we have an onboarding program. It's called six-pack training. We are a brewery. We do make six packs. So when you join our organization, you're put through six-pack training, which is, last I looked, I think it's a full 3 days, where we move you around from department to department throughout the entire organization, so you get to meet everyone. But then eventually, you end up in a conference room with me and one of my coworkers named Matt, and we put on a presentation PowerPoint slide where we go through and explain what an employee-owned company is and how your participation in it is vital. And the presentation usually only takes about an hour, but we always have questions and people are naturally curious. They usually get hung up on what is vesting versus what is stock allocation. So we just kind of iron out some of the nuances of what this whole thing is, make it a little bit more understandable. That's our thing. We have onboarding.
That's great. I think you're sharing that the overtime, the big investment, I think is a really great thing to emphasize. And that this isn't meant as a trick question. If you just think of a fairly recent associate, how long, a fellow owner, how long does it take a new employee to kind of get the hang of ownership? Do you have a sense of time that you think of? Like days, months, years? How long does it usually take a new Mass Bay Brewing co-owner to get it? I'm just curious what you think.
Well, I mean, our class is so good that they should get it at first hour. That's a very good question. For me, I would say it took me almost 6 months of asking multiple people, because even though I thought I understood what the whole thing was about, I would then think of a new question and realize that I just was starting to scratch the surface. One of the things that I would actually like to start here is just collecting some books that we have about employee stock ownership and have them available in like a public library for employees, because even if you think you get it, you probably don't realize how deep the rabbit hole goes. It's a very big, complicated thing. I mean, 11,400 employee-owned companies nationwide, and all of them are slightly different. So I guess it depends on the person, how much information they want to dig up, and then how much we actually expose them to. One of the big things we do here at Mass Bay is we promote an ideas program. The ideas program was based off of this book called Ideas Are Free by Alan Robinson and Dean Schroeder, published in 2006. And what we're trying to do is encourage employees to submit ideas. So we have, and like, it's like a Survey Monkey. Basically, you go online and you fill out this very short form. And it's, if you have an idea on how to improve the company or improve your job role or just fix something that you think is broken. I submitted an idea where we basically, when we're fermenting beer, we put yeast into the fermentation vessel. It takes, depending on the style of beer that we're brewing, it could take 5, it could take 10 days to ferment. But once the yeast is finished fermenting, it starts to settle in the bottom of the tank. Beer fermenters have a conical base because they're actually collecting all of this, what looks like sludge. It's yeast on the bottom of the tank. And we can reuse that yeast into sequential beers that we make later on in the week or 2 weeks down the line. So what my idea was, is we put a tag on the tank when that tank is destined to be harvested from. So if we're going to be reusing the yeast, everyone knows, hey, this tank, we're going to be taking the yeast off of it and using it into sequential batches. The way the craft beer industry has been going is there's a lot of dry hop additions in beer. That's hops that are added post-boil into the fermenter, either warm or cold. And when we put hops in the fermenter, they tend to settle into the bottom. They mix with the yeast. And when we pull the yeast off the bottom, we don't want to have this mixture of both yeast and hops. So we started tagging these tanks saying, hey, this is a special tank. Don't put hops in it until we remove the yeast. It's not anything that's going to make the company money, but it's going to make everyone else's job easier, who has to harvest the tank, who has to add hops to the tank. And then if we're not destroying yeast batches, that eventually does save the company money, but it's not an immediate return. But it's one of those ideas where it's this grassroots idea that comes from the bottom. You're making someone else's job easier. You're making it, and by making someone else's job easier, you're ultimately making the company more profitable because less mistakes are being made along the way.
That's a great example. That's a great example. So I have a question related to the Windsor facility for Mass Bay.
Yeah.
I actually helped out there for a few months in 2008 when the economy in 2009 crashed. We didn't have enough money coming in. Commission checks were gone and my wife Barbara was home with her infant son, Ben, and we needed more money. And I went down to my friends there and said, can I work here as a waiter for a little while to make ends meet? And they said, yeah, we'd love to have you, the whole bit. So I got to know the whole building and the process. Great memory, great group of people. So I have personal experience with what a great company Mass Bay is and all the people in Windsor. But I had a question about in the back is a dumpster that was sort of protected or segregated that had things that were going to go to a dairy farm. Is that the hops? What do you give? What do you know in Windsor? What is given so that livestock can eat it?
It's actually our grain. The majority of beer is made out of a malted grain. It's barley or wheat, depending on the recipe and what we're brewing. It's typically malted barley. So when we start a brewing process, what we do is we'll take malted barley. And I mean, we're talking about a lot of grain, anywhere from 6 to 10,000 pounds per batch.
Wow.
Yeah. And we mash it in with hot water. We let that rest. It's called a mash rest. It happens inside the mash tun. And that rest, again, it depends on the recipe, but you're basically looking at close to an hour of mashing and rest. And then we take that mixture and we move it on over into the lauter tun. And the lauter tun is kind of like a big colander. It separates the grain from the water that is now soaked in all of the flavor and all of the sugars from that grain. And when we're done draining all of the water off, which is now officially called wort, we have this semi-dry grain with that we can't use anymore. We can't extract any more sugar from it. It's a massive quantity. So what we do is we actually give it away to mostly dairy farms, and the cows will eat it, and the farmers actually like it because it does, even though the sugar content has kind of been zapped of most nutrient, it still has a bit of fat content and roughage. Mm. So when the cows eat it, apparently it helps with the production of buttermilk because it increases the fat content in the milk. Yeah. So it's a bit of a symbiotic relationship, breweries and dairy farmers, that I guess no one would really think about unless they went to work for a brewery.
Well, it's great. You shared it on the Owner to Owner podcast because I remember seeing this it's a few years ago now and seeing that dumpster, and everyone was very careful, which now makes sense. It was grain. It was just I couldn't recollect, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. I don't know that most people realize that there is that relationship because we would go over to a playing field, New Hampshire, and buy the milk and the eggs and everything from Max Happy Acres. And we always got a kick out of knowing that it was related to a bunch of our friends' employer just down the street in Windsor, Vermont. So I appreciate your sharing that. So you've mentioned that you do onboarding and you have other activities to help people over time. I guess I think of, to put it in a beer context, I think of getting the hang of ownership is a little bit like a flight. Like if you go into Harpoon and you get a tasting of 5 different colored, delicious, carefully brewed liquids, you take a sip of one, then you want to maybe get a glass of one of those and you go over time. I might borrow that a little bit more when I talk to some folks about ownership at Hypertherm. What we tend to say is there's a swimming pool, and eventually, if you take a sip at a time, when you're ready and you're thirsty, you can drink the whole swimming pool. We don't want you to try to drink the whole swimming pool in your first week, your first month, your first year. Just take your time. There's a lot to learn about ownership, but I'll have to see if I can work Harpoon into that with the right audiences for that.
Always ship you some beer if you need samples.
Well, we have a balance point because we're one of the first recovery-friendly companies in the country, so we'll have to figure out the right
non-alcoholic rec league. Okay, got it.
And you have a beer solution for everything.
Absolutely. But
what's something that comes to mind that Mass Bay Brewing Harpoon does around ownership culture or communication that you think is really cool that you'd want to share with other owners?
Yeah, Mass Bay is fantastic at embracing the culture side of being an ESOP. I've worked for one other employee-owned company in the past, and to be honest, it felt more like just HR benefit. They didn't really go into much discussion as to what it was, how it benefited you, but Mass Bay Brewing Company really focuses on the culture associated with being an owner and taking pride in ownership in what we're doing. We have every month a company meeting where we have the head of each department stand up and basically give a synopsis of how things are going. I was blown away the first time that I went to a monthly company meeting because they were just so open about the financial situation of the company and how everything is going. And I watched as a CFO just threw up a spreadsheet with all this information about the company for everyone to read and see. And I'm like, isn't this like private? Like I'm only a month in to my employment here and they're giving me all the stats on the how the company is doing and revenue and projected revenue. And it was an out of body experience where I was like, wait, I'm invested in this. Like I have a right to see how we're doing and see how I can help. So that's one big thing that we do. Every month we get together as a company and we just state without filter, discuss how the company is doing for each department. If sales, like during the pandemic, sales was getting kicked in the teeth. I mean, all the bars closed and right. Our draft sales were 40% of our business. And overnight, we weren't selling a single keg. Right. So, I mean, they went through some serious trouble adjusting to a market that was buying 40% in restaurants and bars to 100% in liquor stores and grocery stores. So there was some very honest discussion at those company meetings as to how we're going to overcome the obstacles presented from COVID-19. Mm. One of the other things that I really appreciate, I think is fantastic, is MassBay will each month elect a department to hold a party. And it's an employee appreciation party. Again, we're a beer company. We're very into the social aspect of being employee owned and being social and being beer makers. So every month we'll hold an employee appreciation party. And it is up to the department how to theme it. They're given a small budget so they can get food and decorations. It was maybe 2 years ago. It happened over February and our cellaring department decided to hold a Mardi Gras themed party, which I mean, it's great. We had all these little cutout paper masks from the dollar store and, you know, feathers everywhere. And it was just a good time. And then just last month, the maintenance department decided to do morning donuts. So they just brought coffee and donuts into work for everyone to start their morning off right. I guess, right. Not really the healthiest option, but it was fun. So great. Those are something that people really look forward to. And it's just, it has no real value except bringing people together and making them feel like they're part of this community. We're all in this together. I mean, the company is not making money off of it. It's just it's a promotion. It's something we do for ourselves to celebrate the fact that, yes, we're here, we're independent, we're employee owned. And if we want to throw a party at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, we're going to throw a party at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. And then we also do something called Statement Distribution Day, where each year we'll take the entire day off. We'll bring all the employees together at the Boston location, and we will go over the financial reports and the stock. Gosh, what do you call that thing that you get in the mail? And it shows you how much of an allocation you have and how much you're vested. And
yeah, our certificates.
The stock certificates you get in the mail. They'll discuss what that is and basically how to read it and just where we're going in the future, how we're looking at building wealth for the company and how we're changing brands or bringing on new brands. So each year, the Statement Distribution Day is another big thing. And then another thing that just blows me away about this company is when the original owner started it, they wanted to open up a brewery because they took a trip to Europe after college and were just blown away by the beer halls, the German beer halls that they have over there and the beers in Belgium and all of the European culture, beer culture that exists across the pond. And they wanted to bring that back to the United States, which in the mid 80s didn't have much of a beer culture. I mean, craft brewing was just really starting towards the end of the 1970s, early 1980s. So to celebrate that, to celebrate where they've got their inspiration from, after you've been employed here for 5 years, they will take you on a beer culture tour of Europe.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So after 5 years of employment, they will choose
that is awesome.
a location and they'll load everyone up on a plane and we'll go out there and we'll learn as much as we can about, you know, wherever we are, Spain's brewing culture. So yeah, it is. It's awesome. A cool perk. It was canceled because of the pandemic, but it will come back once the borders open up. It will come back.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I have another personal connection with Mass Bay, with the Windsor Harpoon. My brother-in-law, Greg Kreutz, he moved to India for a time and decided to open the first American style craft brewery in India. Did a lot of research. It was quite an adventure over many years, and he was successful. But part of his success was that he reached out to Mass Bay and the Windsor location at Harpoon. And you guys took him in, showed him around, gave him advice, you know, and spent, I think, half a day with him. Who's this guy who wants to open this brewery in India? And you gave him some coaching, some insight. And my father-in-law was with him. They had a glorious time at Harpoon. But at the end of the story is he was able to open it. So indirectly, Harpoon helped open a first American style brewery in India. So I just thought I'd share that with you as one of the core brewers.
Exciting as that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
The beer industry, it's growing, but it's always been, at least from my time working in the beer industry in 2007, and it's always been a very close, tight-knit community. You'd be amazed who knows who. And yeah, when people stop by for a visit or they need advice, we welcome them in with open arms. There's no protected secrets in this industry. Everyone's kind of realizing that there's enough of a pie for everyone, and you can definitely help out your fellow neighbor with brewing.
That's great. That's great. And it's neat to see some of the other recent news of some of the other smaller breweries that are making the journey to ownership. And so hopefully there'll be a bigger and bigger pool in the years ahead for employee-owned brewing. The beer just tastes better if employee owners make it.
Well, I certainly think so.
That's great. We ask all of our guests to share your EO aha moment, that personal moment to you that ownership became something you thought would be impactful, amazing. What was that moment for you where you really started to look at ownership different?
Yeah, I hate to repeat myself, but it was that first company meeting that I discussed. I'm only a month into this employment. It's a new employee and I moved to a new city, so I knew no one in this room. And you know, everyone's having pints, they're gathering around, they're chit-chatting, and then the presentation starts, and I thought it would just be, you know, I didn't even know what to expect, to be honest. Every time I've been pulled into a large company meeting, it's always very whitewashed, it's always very surface level information. And to have our CEO, Dan Canary, just start going into the financial tribulations and troubles that we're having, and then how we're going to pull ourselves out and what direction he sees us going in, and just laying out the groundwork for the next 6 months of the obstacles we as a company face and how we plan on overcoming them, and welcoming people's feedback, saying, you know, if you guys have an opinion on the matter, like let's hear it, because you know, this is us as a company. We're going to jump over these hurdles and we're going to get to the finish line one way or another. That was a real eye-opening experience, because not only is he being very forthright with his information, but he's welcoming you to share your opinions and ideas. You don't find that in every place you work. I mean, I'm a brewer. Look, what kind of financial advice can I give our CFO? I mean, then maybe they'll turn to me and be like, hey, do you know of any new beer brands you want to brew that could be wildly successful and popular out in the trade? But I mean, it was right then and there. I could come up with, if I had any thoughts, I could go online, I could submit one of our ideas on our ideas program, and it would be read by someone, and we would work together as a team to implement it and make it successful. So that was a big aha moment for me, where it wasn't just, you know, I'm here and yeah, I'm employee owned, that's a great HR benefit where they're giving me some stock in the company. It's like, no, I'm here, I'm employee owned, and I've shown up to work. So put up or shut up. It was just it was that moment where you think to yourself, wow, this isn't just something that's being given to me. It's actually being asked to participate and be a working member of this group of people who all have a vested interest in seeing this company succeed. That was a fantastic feeling.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing it and sharing the depth of that and what it meant to you. It's been an absolute joy to talk to you today and hear more insight. And I did actually learn a lot about brewing and the beer industry. And something that I've been thinking about in our time together is that, you know, I'm in the steel industry generally. Hypertherm plasma, majority of the steel cut in the world is cut using our plasma. We also do water jet for cutting stone and alloys and different things and software and those other. But generally, you associate my company with the steel industry, which from a recycling standpoint has been way ahead of the game for decades, probably half a century, where reusing, repurposing, recycling steel. I did not appreciate until our conversation today that if somebody buys a can or a bottle of Harpoon, that you're a very green industry in some regard, where if the dairy cows are eating your grain and your customers are recycling their bottles and cans, I didn't appreciate the green potential in your industry. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. Environmental stewardship is a big concern for any manufacturer. Everything that we bring in, we try to then recycle. Our grain is being sent to the dairy farmers. All of the cardboard boxes we recycle, and then we put our brands into aluminum cans, which can be recycled, that are held together by cardboard boxes of 12 or 15 packs, or they're called Pactex. They're the little 4 can holders that you see that are made of plastic. Those can also be recycled, or if you really want to make good friends with your local brewer, you can bring them back to the brewery because we can reuse them.
That's great. I saw in your Boston facility, an almost pallet-sized one where people could drop them in and it was almost full. And I thought that was just wonderful. It just made me smile. Like, you're all doing your part.
Well, just an ESOP, we're all in this world together. So we should have a vested interest in seeing that it's as healthy as possible.
That's great. And we think of, and we see this in other companies and certainly lots of ESOPs, it's one of the ownership mindset or ownership behaviors is taking care of the ingredients, taking care of the materials and trying to take care of the community, recycling and all of that can all be identified as different ownership mindset behaviors. So we'd like to finish with the opportunity for you to promote Mass Bay Brewing. For many of us in Vermont, New Hampshire, we know you as Harpoon. So that's why I've been tucking in both names just for familiarity. So to talk about why it's great to work at Mass Bay Brewing, because in these times, it is incredibly challenging to find enough employees to welcome enough owners in this environment. It's really unprecedented. So I want to give you a chance. Thank your company and your fellow owners for your time. I would like you to have the floor to promote Mass Bay Brewing Harpoon, why somebody in Windsor and Boston who's thinking about a different career or restarting a new career should come to see you folks.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, Mass Bay Brewing Company, people, like you said, know us mostly by our flagship brand, Harpoon, Harpoon IPA. But we're actually we're a much larger company, I should say. We make multiple brands. We make a Harpoon. We make a UFO, which is most widely known by UFO White, but we have other flavors like a Maine Blueberry, which is very popular during the summer. We have another brand called Clown Shoes, which is known for its brand Bubble Farm and Space Cake. And then we also have a brand called Catamount, because we do have that brewery up in Windsor, Vermont as well. And that is an old Vermont brand that we continue to make. And the Catamount IPA is absolutely delicious. We have City Roots, which is our cider. And then we've started a collaboration with Polar Seltzer with Arctic Chill, which is an alcoholic seltzer. And there's multiple flavors there as well. So yeah, we're here. We're in Boston. We're at the very end of the Seaport District, at the end of Northern Avenue in Southie. And then we also have our second location, another brewery up in Windsor, Vermont. Come by, have a pint, see what we're all about. If you are looking for employment, we are hiring. It is a difficult environment now, especially after the pandemic. Every company struggled and there's been a lot of unemployment, but we are currently hiring. And if you're looking to join a great team of individuals, you want to own a part of a brewery, which is pretty cool. And you want to be given lots of free beer to take home to all of your friends and neighbors. We're the place to come check out.
That's great. That's great. Well, I've really enjoyed the time getting to meet you today and have this time together. I look forward to staying in touch and helping each other with ownership in the future. And thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for getting in touch.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Production assistance by Victoria Huerta. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.